president of Judicial Watch and the author of the book Rights and Freedoms in Peril, an investigative report on the left's attack on America, Tom Fitton. Tom, great to have you back. Good to see you.
Good to be with you both. Thank you.
We are over 8 months from what happened in July in Butler, Pennsylvania, when President Trump was shot in the ear, and we still know next to nothing. Now, I would understand if this was a few months out and there were still investigations being conducted, and I still understand to some degree that there's probably national security issues that can't be disclosed, but we don't really know anything. You're suing for records. Tell us what you think you're going to get.
We're suing specifically for records because it's not just the Secret Service that helped provide security that day. You had an agency, the Homeland Security Department, Department of Homeland Security, their HSI agents, Homeland Security Investigations. They had people and the staff, various aspects of security reportedly up there as well. And we're getting the runaround. Again, what are the state secrets involved here? Obviously, security strategy, things like that. There's going to be an argument about whether they'll be those types of documents will be released. But as best I can tell, between DHS, FBI, and DHS covers Secret Service as well, there hasn't been one document released under FOIA about the Trump assassination attempt in Butler. Hmm. It's really inexcusable. I don't understand it. And if I were President Trump, I'd get on the horn right now and call DHS, I'd call Kash Patel and say, get the information out. What is the issue here? Now, there's an ongoing investigation and prosecution literally in Florida over the second assassination attempt. So there will be challenges in getting documents when there's an ongoing investigation. But this young man was killed. There's no other criminal investigation I'd be aware of. Is there what? And if there is, that would be news, wouldn't it there? Wouldn't it be news? And so, again, we're in court now just trying to get basic information about what happened that day.
It's insane that you have to sue to get the most basic information about really an epic American story. How important is it?
I mean, quickly, the only documents we've gotten photos and some video, is from the locals in Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah, they were more responsive than the federal government, there's no doubt. There's always been this question of why did he have this encrypted act that had some connections to foreigners? Will your lawsuit try to force out any information about any foreign connections to this kid?
Well, not this one. Our request pending with the FBI presumably would. And, was there a deeper conspiracy here? I don't know. The silence from the FBI and the Secret Service is deafening. And, my experience is that if there was material that would be beneficial to either agency, we would have had it by now.
Yep. Good point.
Tom, I want to move over to the judicial side of things, particularly with Judge James Boasberg. There's only one office in the land that all Americans vote for, and it's the President of the United States. And he has a pretty broad swath of power. And yet you have these judges out there who seem to think that their power is matched with the president. How did we get to this place where they feel that they can, in an activist fashion, match the president's authority?
Because there really hasn't been consequences for doing what they're doing thus far. And this is why, in my view, the impeachment talk is appropriate. They should be worried about impeachment because that is a constitutional tool put in there by the framers to check judicial abuses. Now, whether impeachment is going to be likely, maybe not, because it doesn't seem to me the Republican leadership in either House or the Senate want to do much on it. Heck, they couldn't even impeach Biden. They're not going to start impeaching district court judges. But the judges should be reminded there's another vehicle for accountability for this judicial overreach. And it goes beyond overreach. This is them taking on to themselves powers not available to them under the Constitution. They're stealing our right to govern ourselves through elections. They're not elected. They're appointed and confirmed by the Senate. And the accountable bodies of our Constitution, at least directly in terms of legislation through elections, is our Congress and the executive branch. And to have judges second guess and take over, essentially, or hijack the powers of the president when it comes to the hiring and firing of employees, the protection of the United States, the security of our border, issues about war and peace, judges, at least as we've been told for 200 plus years, are ill-equipped and constitutionally unable to run the show in that regard. And there's got to be significant pushback. And the Supreme Court needs to take action. If they can't lecture Americans, oh, you can't use impeachment because the rule of law, as traditionally pursued, is sufficient, well, they need to show that works sooner rather than later, because time's a-wasting. Lives are on the line.
Yeah, that's such a great, important point. Every time one of these gang members stays here or does something else, they're endangering American lives. It really is a life and death issue. Tom, I want to turn to something we all discovered when we were doing Unraveling Russia Collusion, that the Soros and the liberal NGO foundation world was surrounding FBI agents and Justice Department prosecutors, taking them to conferences, wining and dining them. And some of those people who would go to those conferences later would turn out to be important people pursuing the liberal investigation of Donald Trump under Russia collusion's very flawed theory. Judges are also taking these junkets. Judge Boasberg going to one this past summer, just a few months before he issues this ruling, where the sponsor, the teachers, the people affiliated with it, and the funders all have a decidedly anti-Trump bent. And, by the way, a very different view on immigration. By the way, a view consistent with Judge Boasberg's immigration, but not consistent with President Trump. Is it time to end junkets for justices and keep them above these sort of special interest influences?
Well, certainly they have to be disclosed in a timely way. I think the federal law arguably should require more timely disclosures in that regard. I think it's especially ironic since the leftist Democrat senators suggest that any judge or any lawyer who has spoken at a Federalist Society event, which is a conservative legal organization, is disqualified from being a judge. And here we have judges, and frankly, there were some Trump judges who went there as well,
right,
who go, as you highlight, to a group that's part of the anti-Trump movement. And they've got to be conscious. Look, the expectation is that judges are public figures, public officials, and should educate the public and participate in proceedings that help the public understand the role and function of the judiciary under our constitutional system. They should be careful and cautious about doing it with groups who are not extremist and who are not overtly political, such as this group seems to be, as you point out.
Tom, before we let you go, I have a very important question, because you are always on the election integrity front. You know, as election night closed down, it looked like President Trump had millions upon millions in margin in the popular vote. And that got narrower and narrower, and he obviously still won the popular vote. But I knew it. I saw it happening in California. They kept counting and kept counting and kept counting. And you have now sued on behalf of Congressman Daryl Issa. Tell us about the status of that.
Yeah, we sued to stop California from counting ballots that arrive after Election Day. I would argue you got to know who won on Election Day.
Yeah.
But in the least, ballots that arrive after Election Day shouldn't be counted. We had a big Fifth Circuit series of rulings that affirm that's a violation of law. And what's interesting in California, there are other states that do it too. They count ballots that arrive for up to 7 days after Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And our analysis that we shared in the lawsuit for Daryl Issa, as you point out, Amanda, highlights that there were at least two congressional races that on Election Day, Republicans had won, but they lost as a result of what I believe to be the unlawful counting of ballots that arrived after Election Day.
Yeah.
And those two votes in a closely contested House, as you see every day, you're reporting it every day how close this House is in terms of Republicans, it may make a big difference.
Sure is.
The difference between a piece of legislation, significant legislation.
Yeah. I mean, when there is no end date, then it makes it easy to kind of backfill when you need it, and which is absolutely.
Why not years? Why not count them for years?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why even place an end date at all? Everybody, the book again is Rights and Freedoms in Peril, an investigative report of the left's attack on America. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton, always on the watch, as his organization says.